Hello, my name is Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this moment and time into which we get to look into your words, Father. I pray, Father, that you will speak now for your servants are listening, Father. Before we listen with our ears, Father, we want to listen with our hearts and confess our sins unto you, that we might be in right fellowship with you, that we may hear you, and that we may be doers of the word, and not just hearers. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen, and praise the Lord. Bethlehem! That sounds good, that sounds good. Let's do that again. Bethlehem! Year of 2011, we have designated a time into which we want to develop a deep personal relationship with God, a time into which we want to get to know him, the same way that Paul got to know him in Philippians chapter 3. And Paul wanted to know him. He wanted to know even the fellowship of his suffering. Boy, that's wanting to get to know somebody. He also wants to know the power of his resurrection, and he wanted to set an example. These core values we've been focusing on throughout this whole year as we have resolved to know him. So Bethlehem, and who is him?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. And praise the Lord. We started a new series on Wednesday night, a new series entitled Keep Your Eyes, Keep Your Eyes. And we're going to continue in this series this morning as we look at a message entitled Keeping Your Eyes on Jesus. Keeping your eyes on Jesus. And we're going to be looking at Matthew this morning. We want you to look at the screen stand. We want to read this together out loud at the same time on three. Stand symbolically saying, and I will stand on the word of God. Stand symbolically saying and reverencing the word of God. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Let's read this on three. One, two, three.
Got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he
Amen. Continue. Amen. Today we are sharing a message entitled Keeping Your Eyes on Jesus. Keeping Your Eyes on Jesus. We're going to learn this morning about Peter's storm. We're going to learn how Peter sunk. And we're going to learn how Peter was saved. We want Christians to know today that Christians should keep their eyes on Jesus through the storms of life. Christians should keep their eyes on Jesus through the storms of life. Before we get in this word today, I want to make sure that you get a copy of today's newsletter. For there's an article in here entitled Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. And if you promise to read this article, I will promise to keep it short this morning. I know we have, we want to join the district in that celebration. But if you promise to read this article, and if the Lord says the same, we'll keep this message short. Amen? You make that promise? Only a few, so I guess I can go ahead and go an hour and a half then. Today, a message entitled, Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. We shared in the bulletin just a little snippet of a text that we shared on Wednesday night as we looked in the life of John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer got discouraged and he sent messengers to Jesus. He posed the question to Jesus, are you the one or should we look for another? And Jesus told him something that blew my mind, blew his mind. He talked about all the miracles that were happening. See, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead is rise. And he told them to go back and tell them what they seen. He was trying to get Jesus to, Paul or John to keep his eyes on Jesus. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you keep your eyes on Jesus, it will help you during the down times in life. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll never have to panic. You'll never have to be like Chicken Little and running and screaming and saying that the sky is falling. Yeah. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, keep your eyes on Jesus. This morning, we have a perfect example of someone who needed to keep his eyes on Jesus. His name was Peter. And Peter stands out in this text this morning because, let's give us some positive reviews. Peter stands out in this text because he was the only one who was willing to step out of the boat. Those of you who have been around the church a long time know the story. It was a story where Jesus told the disciples to get in the boat, and Jesus went off to pray, and the disciples in the boat ran into a storm, and this was a storm that would cause grown men to panic. grown fishermen who knew the sea to panic. It was that kind of storm. For lack of a better word, it was like an earthquake. Hello, somebody. That would cause grown people to panic. And last night, there was some folk panicking. Hello, somebody. There was some folk that were unsettled. There was some folk that didn't like that uneasiness of feeling their house shake. There was some folk that was wishing for tornadoes last night. Folks saying, we know what to do with the tornadoes, but what do you do with an earthquake? Hello, somebody. These men in the boat that night, and they had a little earthquake, if you would, a tsunami, if you would, and they panicked. And what made it worse is in the middle of the storm, they saw something that looked like a ghost. Hello, somebody. Yeah. So they were dealing with the storm, and then they thought they were dealing with the spirit or ghost. Hello, somebody. So they had two reasons to panic. Oh, until Jesus said, "It is I." Yeah. And when he said that, it was only Peter. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Peter. It was only Peter who was willing and asked Jesus to step out of the boat. So let's give him some props this morning. Let's give God a hand clap of praise for willingness to step out of the boat. I'll encourage those people who are willing to step out of the boat, to step out on the things of God, for those who have that. What the preacher said last night, Reverend Johnson, he talked about yesterday morning, he talked about that now faith. And he had enough now faith to get out of the boat. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, get out of the boat. In Jesus' name. Out of the boat. He was willing to get out of the boat. And I think that is commendable. Commendable. So we talk about Peter's storm. Oh, it says that in the green, the winds, it was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. It was buffeted. Oh, this was a real storm. And some of you here today, and you show up today, and you are in a real storm. Oh, life has taken you off guard. The things in life have taken you off guard. And now you find yourself in the middle of a storm. The preachers who always preach this set say that you're either in a storm, or you're coming out of a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. And there's somebody here today that's in a storm. There's somebody here today that's coming out of the storm. There's somebody here today that's about to go into the storm. But we want you to know today that you don't have to be afraid of the storms in life. There's nothing that catches you or catches God off guard. As a matter of fact, this storm can be best described as a sovereign storm, which means that God sent it because Jesus told them to get in a boat. And all they were doing was obeying God. And when they were obeying God, they got in trouble. And there's somebody here today. You're in a sovereign storm. All you was doing was obeying God. God told you to do it. And you find yourself in the midst of a storm. And a storm for doing the right thing. That's what we learned about John the Baptist Wednesday. And if you haven't heard, go up on the website and download that sermon. But we learned Wednesday that John the Baptist got in trouble because of doing the right thing. He was telling the truth. And it got him in trouble. He was in a sovereign storm. And to tell you the truth, that's the best kind of storm to be in. It's a sovereign storm. Hello, somebody. There's somebody here today, you're in a storm, but it's not a sovereign storm. You're in a storm called a sinful storm. Yeah. Hello, somebody. And it's a storm that you got yourself into. Hello, somebody. It's a storm that Jesus didn't tell you to get in the boat, it's a storm, because you decided to do things your own way. Hello, somebody. And the storm hits you. Some of you are here today, you're in a financial storm because you decided to get in the boat of the casino. Hello, somebody. And you lost all of your money. You come here today wanting God to be Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides. Hello, somebody. It's a sinful storm. Hello, somebody. You say, oh, there's some other folk here that are in a sinful storm. But what Peter does in the text, I believe, could help you today if you are in a sinful storm. What we're going to see and learn from Peter is what you need to do in the midst of the storm, because our God is full of mercy and grace. Hello, somebody. As a matter of fact, the word says that his grace and mercy are new each day. Hello, somebody. Morning. By morning, new mercies I see. So whether great is thy faithfulness. So whether you're here today and you're in a sober storm, or you're here today in a sinful storm, I believe that God's mercy is great enough to take you to places that you need to be taken to. It's grateful enough for you to be delivered from the storms in this life in the same way. And we're going to see in our last point that how Peter was saved. But you're here today and you're in a storm. And I want to save time, but I was going to talk a little bit about that storm, about Paul's storm. He got into a storm. It was a horrible storm. It was like a hurricane, and it took him to places that he didn't want to go, and he ended up shipwrecked. Not only shipwrecked, but when he got shipwrecked, he got bit by a snake. It was one of those kinds of songs where everything was going wrong. Hello, somebody. Somebody's here today, and you're in that kind of storm. Oh, you got out of the storm, made it. Oh, on broken pieces, dry land. And while you were trying to make a fire, you got lit. Hello, somebody. And the natives are looking for you to die. Hello, somebody. God says today to somebody here that's been in that kind of storm that God is able to deliver you from a storm. He's able to deliver you from a snake bite. He's able to deliver you. Oh, you can make it out today on broken pieces if you cannot swim. That's what they said at the end of that storm. They said, oh, if you can't swim, when the boat was breaking up, they said that if you can't swim, you better grab yourself a broken piece and you better float. Hello, somebody. And God is saying to somebody here, oh, you better grab on. Oh, because you have that, I think it was George Kennan, theology. You say, I never learned to swim. Can't catch the rhythm of the stroke. Oh, God is saying to me, oh, if you can't swim, you better grab on to some broken pieces and hold on in Jesus' name. Oh, whether it's a sovereign song or whether it's a sinful song, you better grab on to some broken pieces and hold on and call on the name of the Lord like Peter did. Hello. Hello, somebody. Because the one mistake that Peter made after he stepped out, and he stepped out of the boat and he walked across the storm. Yeah. Hello, somebody. So you get to point number two. Peter sunk. Yeah. Hello, somebody. We gave him his props for just stepping out. Now we got to call him crazy. Because he took his eyes off Jesus. That's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Especially for those that are advanced in the faith. Peter was advanced in the faith. He had enough faith to step out of the boat. Okay. He had enough faith to walk on the storm. The only one of two to ever do it. Hello, somebody. But he was advanced in his faith, and he started out right, but ended wrong. That's the danger of most people in the church. They can start out right, take their eyes off Jesus, and end up wrong. As you come here today and you're worshiping as a part of our church, oh, the devil has something he wants you to see today. He don't want you to see people praising and worshiping God. He doesn't want you to see, oh, the word of God going forth. He don't want you to see prayer. He wants you to see that woman that's cutting her eyes at you. Hello, somebody. Hello. She don't like you because you more cuter than she is. Hello, somebody. Oh, he wants you to see, oh, that preaching or that deacon that don't have it all together. Hello, somebody. This Sunday was a bad Sunday, and you heard him say something that he shouldn't have said and do something that he shouldn't have done. That's what the devil wants you to see. Hello, somebody. That's what the devil wants you to see. He wants you to take your eyes off Jesus. And when you take your eyes off Jesus, you'll come here and see somebody doing something that they shouldn't do and get mad and what and not want to come no more. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I can never get in my mind why people would do that. But I got it during this text. He said they're not looking at Jesus. They're not keeping their eyes on Jesus. You see, oh, there's a whole lot of folk want to give up because they're not keeping their eyes on Jesus. A whole lot of folk that want to throw in the towel because they're not keeping their eyes on Jesus. Hello, somebody. When you come here today, you in any day, you better keep your eyes on Jesus or else your faith will sink. Hello, somebody. You're so all right. You know you hear from the Lord. You know God answers prayers. Oh, you've seen him work. God is saving not only you, but your children and your children's children. Oh, to the third generation. But yes, you take your eyes off Jesus and put it on a knucklehead. Hello, somebody. That knucklehead is called a stone. Hello, somebody. Keep your eyes on Jesus or else you will sink. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, or neighbor, you better keep your eyes on Jesus. In Jesus' name. This text that we're talking from this month talks about keeping your eyes on those of us who modeled this life. See, there are two people that you can watch. You can keep your eyes on Jesus or keep your eyes on somebody following Jesus. Hello, somebody. And I know we got some good folk in this church, but you looking at the bad people. Hello, somebody. Look at the sincere people. Look at the good people and model your life as they have are living. Hello, somebody. And if they should fall, oh, and you can't help them up, you better just keep your eyes on Jesus. Say to your neighbor, neighbor! Oh, neighbor, you better keep your eyes on Jesus. Like John 14:27 says, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid when you keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, guess what? You'll have peace. Amen. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, do you need peace in the storm? Yes, I need peace in the storm. I need peace in the storm. I'm tired of sinking. Hello, somebody. I can't overcome. I can't do this. But in order for me to do this, oh, it's a storm right now, and I need to keep my eyes on Jesus. So I can do the miraculous. So I can walk across the storms of life. Hello, somebody. Can you imagine how powerful that is that you believe in God so much that you can walk across the storms? The devil thought he had you. But you took a walk. The devil thought he had you, but you decided to take a walk out from the things of God, to take a walk out in faith, to continue to believe, even though the circumstance says differently. You decided to be so focused that you're just going to look at Jesus. And when I look at Jesus, I can do the miraculous. When I look at Jesus, I can do stuff that has never been done before. When I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can do exceedingly abundantly above anything I ask or can imagine. But I've got to keep my eyes on Jesus and just take a walk. That's what God is trying to tell you today. You may be in a sober storm. You may be in a sinful storm. You know how you take a walk in a sinful storm when you got in it by yourself? You know how do you take a walk? You confess your sins unto the Lord. Hello, somebody. And guess what? God will forgive you. And you repent. And repentance meaning what? Turn. And guess what? When you take a walk, somebody preaching mommy. Oh, that's true repentance. Oh, you messed up. You got your own sinful soul. And now you're confessing it to the Lord. And you confess it to the Lord. And then you take another walk. Because you got to get back to Jesus. You got to get back to looking at Jesus and focusing on Jesus. Oh, somebody tell your neighbor, neighbor, repent and take a walk in Jesus' name. Repent and take a walk. Take a walk. Repent. Because when you do, you can be like Peter. Peter got saved. I'm not talking about, you know, soul salvation. He was already saved. Somebody here, you messed up so bad, you thinking you're not saved. No, you still saved. You still useful to the ministry. You ain't nobody. And you say, preacher, why you mean nobody? I mean, we all fall down. What makes you so different? So special. When we were children, in order to learn how to walk, we all had to. Nobody came out of the womb just walking. We all had to stumble and fall and crawl around. So why are you trying to let the devil think that you are different? Hello, somebody. No, you just like everybody else that ever lived holy anyway. Because people who live holy know just how sinful they are. They know that if you catch, I hate to say it, but you catch Pastor Eton on the wrong day, at the wrong moment. Don't let him have his sleep. Don't let him have food in his stomach. Just let his wife talk to him crazy. Hello? You might not get the results that you should get. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. That's the why Jesus had to die. Hello, somebody. Because none of us could be a perfect sacrifice. None of us could live a perfect life. So don't let the devil start to try to trick you up and think you are any different than anybody else. You better repent and turn and walk in the other direction as if you had never stumbled, as if you have never fallen. In Jesus' name. Say to your neighbor, neighbor. Oh, neighbor, you better not sink. You better call on the name of Jesus. Hello, somebody. That's what Peter had to do. He had to call on the name of Jesus. And after that, he called on the name of Jesus and God saved him. This is what Jesus said. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. This morning, Jesus is trying to catch somebody. This morning, Jesus
trying to catch that person that was thinking about committing suicide. He's trying to catch you. That person that was thinking about giving up on their faith and giving up on God and giving up on the church and giving up on God's people. He's trying to catch you this morning. Hello, somebody. He's trying to catch you. Somebody that's claiming themselves, thinking that they can't be forgiven. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God can forgive anything. Hello, somebody. Now, there may be some folk around you that may be mad because God forgave you. Hello, but you don't need to be hanging around those people anyway. Hello, somebody. They don't have a real relationship with God, because if they did, they could not be judgmental. Hello, somebody. Because the closer you grow to God, the more sinful you know you are. Hello, somebody. If you think you're all that in a bag of chips and dip, you really don't know him. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Walk around with your head all up in the clouds. Hello, somebody. God is trying to catch that sincere person that was trying to live right, trying to do right, but just took his eyes. Jesus said, he can catch you. I can catch you. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hands and caught him.
Yeah.
And what did he say? You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Don't you know that doubt is sin? Let me say that again. Doubt, oh, let me put it this way better. Doubting God is a sin. you can doubt Pastor Eton, especially if he's not in the Word and preaching the Word.
Right.
If he's preaching the Word, you can't doubt the Word that he preached.
Right.
Hello, somebody. This is about the Word. Okay, but you can doubt me if I prophesy that the Longhorns is going to win the national championship. Now, you can doubt that. Not the Word of God. Now, Jesus trying to, he said, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? Somebody here today has been doubting God. God is trying to let you know that he can do it. He can forgive. He can deliver. He can do what you think that you can't do. He can build a new building. Why are you doubting? He can do it. He can get you a new job. Why are you doubting? As a single person here thinking, oh, that God can't get me or send me a man. Why are you doubting? There's somebody here in a difficult marriage. You tell you, oh, this marriage can't work. But God is saying, why are you doubting, ye of little faith? Oh, there's somebody that's looking at the bottom line of the bank account. But God is whispering in your ear, saying that he's going to provide for you. Just trust him in Jesus' name. Why are you doubting? Don't you know the God that you serve? Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise. Give God a hand clap of praise up in here. That's how God is able to blow your mind. He's able, yeah, time after time. Jesus saved him. Saved him out of his sovereign storm. This morning, somebody, if you can believe and not doubt, you can not just be saved from the storm, but you can be saved through the storm. Let me say that. He can be saved through the storm, because if he kept his eyes on Jesus and just kept walking and following him, he would have been saved through the storm.
Yeah, he would have been all right.
Yeah, he would have been all right. But even if you're not all right today, you can be saved from the storm.
Yeah.
All you have to do is call on the name of
Jesus. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Deacons, will you come? God wants us to know that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is every and anything that you need. The old folk used to say he's a doctor in an operating room, a lawyer in a courtroom. He's everything that you need. The Old Testament says, when Moses said, we learned a little bit about him in Sunday school, when Moses said, whom shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am that I am. An old preacher said that meant that God was everything that he needed to deliver the people of God out of bondage. He was every miracle that would happen to deliver them. He was everything that they needed. Somebody here today, don't you know that Jesus is everything that you need? Jesus can save you from your sovereign storm. Jesus can save you from your sinful storm. Also, Jesus can save a sinner. If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we've got to tell you who Jesus is. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus came on this earth, lived 33 years, ministered 33 years, and guess what he did? He had to die. He had to die for your sins and my sins as he struggled in that Garden of Gethsemane. He had to come to terms with God's will for his life. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It was God's will for him to die for you and to die for me to take care of your sins. If you're here today, you do not know that Jesus not only would have to die and be crucified, mocked, and scorned. They put a cross on his back, led him through the streets of Jerusalem, took him to that hill called Golgotha. And on that Golgotha's hill, they nailed him to that cross. They raised him up between two thieves. And even then, they didn't have the victory. For Jesus had to give up his ghost, get taken down from that cross. Bible says that he was put in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day he raised for power in his hands, because he raised today. Well, 2,000 years ago, you can rise today and get your life right. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want you to slip out of your seat, come forth and say, I want to know him. You may be here today and you don't have a church home. Slip out of your seat and say, I want to join this church. This is a good church where I can, learn and live for the Lord. Somebody else, maybe you've accepted Christ, but you never were baptized. Come right now. Make that decision. You may need to pray, or you may have a testimony. Whatever your decision is right now, some music plays. I want you to come forward right now in Jesus' name. I said, come forward right now in Jesus' name.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really has spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Bethlehem.